Hey Jim.
Hey DL.
How's it going?
Well, it's going better than it has been going.
Because we had sex.
We had sex last night. So we haven't been podcasting the last couple days, in part because we've spent so much time together,
Yeah.
not having
Not
sex most of
sad.
the
Yep.
time, but wishing we were having
Yeah.
sex. So that's kind of the topic of today's Intimacy Cadre podcast.
Welcome to the Intimacy Cadre podcast, where shit is real.
Where shit is real.
And we are very honest
Yeah, and
and very open.
I feel like it's important to be honest because we're not sexperts. We're not relationship experts. We're not intimacy gurus. We're just people trying to figure stuff out on our own,
Experimenting and sharing
experimenting.
about it.
And really, our ultimate goal for our community is to have people who are interested in these topics, not people who have just got it all figured out. Not people who are coming to us for guidance and say, Jim and DL, fix my love life, fix my intimacy, help us communicate better, help us have amazing sex. I mean, we're willing to help to the degree we can help, but we're not here to be your coach, your teacher.
We just want to talk about shit.
We want to talk about shit
Yeah.
and share tools and share insights
We have good tools. We have good insights too.
and create the space for
Yeah.
this.
We've had some amazing experiences.
And we've had the last couple of weeks of virtual
Oh
sexlessness.
my gosh. Which is normal for a lot of people,
Right, but
just not for us.
not for us, and not because we're having any emotional difficulties,
We're not fighting. We don't fight anyway.
not because we haven't wanted to have sex.
Yeah.
It comes straight down to the fact that my dick hasn't been working very
Oh
well.
my gosh.
And I don't know why. And even last night, it wasn't working great, but it worked well enough, and you had a good orgasm from it.
Was all primed and ready. Hop on,
I'm
honey. We're ready to go.
49 years old. You're
Same.
the same. I didn't want to just state your age
Yeah.
if you were. We're the same age, and we're both going through a lot of hormonal changes. It's more common for us to focus on women's hormonal changes at these years. You're not quite in menopause, but
I'm in something.
you're in something. Your cycles have
I'm
changed. You've had a lot of symptoms of some women
pre, peri, whatever the words are.
perimenopausal, and
Yeah.
yeah, those are great
Skipping
words.
cycles. Yeah. I don't like, yeah, pause or men in it.
Yeah, so you went from a fairly regular process to one that isn't. For men, it's a little different. We don't necessarily have the equivalent, although people talk about something called andropause in men, but it's a much, we don't, obviously don't, aren't releasing eggs. There's nothing like that going on in us. So it's not a one-to-one correlation, but our hormones do change.
And you have sperm like for your entire life, right? Because it's made.
Correct.
Okay, because like with women, you run out of
Right.
eggs.
I've had a vasectomy, but I'm still producing sperm. It just gets cut off
Yeah.
at the pass.
Yay, best decision ever.
Well, yeah,
Well,
less is pointless because we're not having sex.
right.
So men starting usually around the age of 30 will start having a 1 to 2% decrease in their testosterone levels. Now, some men it doesn't affect ever. Lucky you
I
guys.
wonder why some
Yeah.
men are affected and some aren't.
And then by the time of 45, some 40% of men have what are considered lower levels of testosterone. And as you get older, that's even higher.
And I wonder how many of these men are actually talking about it.
I don't know. I haven't ever talked to a man about his
Hey, let's go
testosterone
into the grocery store. Hey,
levels.
guys, tell us about your
Except my
testosterone.
son
Right.
bragging about how much testosterone he
He
has.
has.
He's 15. And never had a girlfriend or kissed anybody yet, but to my knowledge, but I think he would have told me.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes, it's embarrassing, it's humiliating, it hurts our
Yeah.
sex life. It's not something that's never happened before. We've had a few phases. There was one phase last May, June, where we discovered that I have acid reflux. I'd been taking some Prilosec, I guess they're called proton inhibitors, and I was had the insight, what if that has something to do with sexual performance? And I looked it up, and sure enough, there are studies on perfectly healthy males who were having trouble, you know, or having ED, you know, erectile dysfunction troubles because they've been taking Prilosec. Mm. Got off the Prilosec, started using essential oils on my penis. Everything started working amazing, mm-hmm. with maybe a couple hiccups since then. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly, for no particular reason, it just has not worked very well. Mm-hmm. And it's not worked very well, really, in the context of sex with you, where I'm still able to masturbate.
And get hard.
Get hard. So then it suggests a mental issue.
Or it suggests me. But then it's just like, what am I doing?
But I really don't believe it was.
Yeah. You. But it's hard not to think that way. It's like, oh, you
because
get hard
you
by
saw
yourself.
Last night that I could get hard in front of you.
Yeah.
By touching myself. Yeah. And then we were able to have sex.
Yeah.
Which is not how we normally do it. Mm-hmm. Because it's not just not our style.
Yeah.
Like other people do. Whatever works for them. Mm-hmm. For us, we just usually connect. We connect, we have sex.
Mm-hmm. Which is a big part and has always been a big part for you.
Yes, connection is important to me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to just have sex just to have sex.
With the erection thing too. It's just like to be feel really connected and
calm.
And calm.
And yes, anxiety, stress. So we think of passionate, wild, passionate sex. And maybe that works for guys in their early 20s where everything's really working well. But at some point, it doesn't work as well if you're not connected. Of course, men vary a lot. Mm-hmm. But in general, the way even pills like Viagra or Cialis work is to increase flow into the blood flow through your system by relaxing you.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. So that's the same thing that essential oil remedies like goldenrod do, is that they relax the blood vessels and they relax. So relaxation is great.
So what kind of, can you explain that? Like, because...
No, I'm not a doctor. I cannot,
no, no,
I'm
no.
Not
like
a medical.
In your own body, like what is that relaxation? Like, I would think of stress or not relaxed as kind of agitated and fidgety. And
for me, it comes in the form of heat. Mm. I start feeling super hot and sweaty.
In response to a thought you're having or...
Could be a thought, but the other day, I don't even know what it was. I was hot before any thoughts could enter me. I woke up hot. Yeah. And it got me researching that that's actually a sign of low testosterone. Mm. Like women get hot flashes in menopause. Men can also get something like a hot flash or get really hot from a decrease in the level of testosterone. Now, why is the testosterone decreased? Is it decreased because I am anxious? Is it decreased because of natural reasons? Is there something I can do about it?
And one of the questions that I had, is it because something else, one of the other hormones is elevated, so it looks like the testosterone is lower?
Right, and as you get anxiety, that'll release cortisol, or it's a fear response.
So maybe there's more of that.
And that definitely doesn't help.
Yeah.
So it becomes a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
So if you come in, so it's hard to determine, is it a physical thing that leads to more emotional things, which starts the vicious cycle? Or is it an emotional thing, first off, or a mental, emotional thing that shuts down the body? And it's really difficult to untangle. And honestly, that's where we are. Mm-hmm. We're not, this problem has not been fixed. We haven't come on here to tell you, yay, we had sex, it's all better. No. It's not.
Yeah, no.
So it's really an interesting place to be, because this is the most sexually fulfilling time of my life.
Yes, mine too. 100%.
So one of the things we enjoy doing together, besides dancing and doing intimacy workshops and co-creating, is actually having sex together. Because it's been
amazing. And often. Frequent.
And of course, in the schools that I've studied in Tantra, intercourse is it's downplayed as that important. What's more important is generating the sexual energy, moving it through your body, not worrying about performance, just generating that energy. You can generate the energy whether you're hard or not, mm-hmm. through breathing, through sound, through movement. You can generate that energy. You can have be orgasmic, all of those things. And yet we really do like intercourse with each other. And that's...
Yeah, I mean, I get all of that stuff, but I like the actual penetration. I love it. I fucking love it.
Right. So that's... So it's hard not to get out of the performance mindset mm-hmm. when there's a particular thing you want to have.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that we haven't fully broken our habits so that we understand just how much more superior it is to move sexual energy, and actually the movement of sexual energy and the freedom should actually free your body more to be able to have better intercourse. But what if it doesn't? You're supposed to just sort of set it aside and be okay with that in yourself. But what if you're not okay with that? Mm-hmm. What if there's a way, like, I love feeling you on the inside. I love feeling you on the inside last night. Mm-hmm. It was incredible. Mm-hmm. But it's been frustrating and it's humiliating and it's hard to talk about and it's embarrassing.
Thank you for being willing to do this.
Well, I know I'm not the only man going through it, mm-hmm. and it's inconsistent, and I do know how much you talk about us sexually in a good way, that it's important to express, no, I'm, even though you did call me a sex god once.
Yes, that you are.
I am not necessarily knowledgeable enough of how my own body works. So there's all kinds of interesting things. There's pelvic floor, how strong or weak or how tight or loose is my pelvic floor. What is nutrition? So other things that contributed to is alcohol. Well, I don't drink. Diet. My diet actually is pretty conducive to having a healthy sex life. I eat a lot of leafy greens and
rice
and a lot of the things that help with that. I don't eat fish and stuff like that. That can also be helpful, but I generally have a good diet. I avoid processed foods as much as I possibly can. So it's not that. It's not my weight. I'm not overweight.
Which is a thing for some men who have a big belly that actually puts pressure. Does it push pressure on the prostate? Is that how it works? Which then affects the erections?
All I know is the correlation between that and performance. I don't... Mm. Alcohol, some drugs can also be very negative towards male sexual performance. Mm-hmm. Of course, there are men who are heavy drinkers.
There's the exceptions. Uh-huh. There are exceptions.
I just don't happen to be an exception.
Yeah.
I happen to follow a certain rule. And it comes and goes. It feels like a wave. It can often feel like my sexual vigor is there for long stretches. And then, mm-hmm. so even when I'm in a good stretch, it feels like a wave. Like sometimes it's just very easy, and sometimes it takes a little more work, and it has nothing to do with how often I'm having sex. Although I've read if you have sex more, your testosterone levels will go slightly up. So it's very mysterious to me why this has happened to me, except that I'm of a certain age in a world with a lot of environmental factors that don't lend towards testosterone. So mm-hmm. one of those is that there's so much apparent estrogen fucking in our environment
everywhere.
Through how plastics. Even...
Animal products.
And I read somewhere that testosterone levels in men are something like 25% lower than they were 30 years ago.
Whoa.
I don't know if that's true. I just read that somewhere yesterday. Mm-hmm.
And the other piece too that you brought up before is that this is the first time that you've had regular, consistent, all the time kind of sex. So you've been able to, both of us, been able to see our cycles within our cycles.
Since my early 20s. Yes.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing. I don't know my body sexually enough to know how it would react to this much sex.
Yeah.
So my body has definitely shut down, and I think it's a complete correlation. It has been that way since the night of the prostate check.
I know.
But I don't think it has anything to do with that.
Yeah. And there was also a lot of work in there. There were like a lot of intense things in that short period of time. And who knows, maybe that.
Right. So it's hard to say. Mm-hmm. I just want to say, hey, I don't have answers. I don't know. I'm looking for answers. I'm not content. It was interesting. We were watching one video where, like, I'm really tight in my neck and shoulders and how that affects pelvic floor health. I don't think that's quite what's happening here, because it's a dramatic fall off a cliff, not mm-hmm. a small fall off a cliff.
And these small things could help you in
but
the long
all
run.
Those things, yeah, are yeah. important. Mm-hmm. There's that. There can be improvements in the diet. There can be a little more exercise. Exercise doesn't raise testosterone levels, except for in a very short period of time. But it's not hurtful to actual sexual performance, and I was reading some studies on that.
We just, as we age, there's just a different level of self-care that we have to start paying attention to if we want to maintain the kind of fun and lifestyle and things that we like to do
right.
with and in our bodies.
And it opens us up, we hope, to other opportunities of intimacy, but it also opens us up to hard questions. Like, yeah. what is it that you want in a relationship? You admit it's really important to you to have regular intercourse sex with your partner.
Yeah. So it's like, do I want to live without that?
Right. So those are honest. No. That's not, yeah. not something, oh, how could you abandon? It's not like that. It's like being real with yourself. Mm-hmm. What is it I need? What is it you need? And we're having that conversation. No, we're not about to break up if you're worried
about
that. We're
not breaking up. When we say lots of sex, I think that that's a good question to answer. I'd say we, and on a, when everything, both of us are doing okay, it's like what, like four or five times a week.
Yeah, yeah. rather like than that. Days because yeah sometimes there's multiple.
Twice in a day, yeah. yeah
4 or 5 times, yes, at our per most week. Probably it's been as high as 6 maybe in eight. Last winter,
yeah.
Eight. Yeah, no, we've had more than 8 I mean on an average, but yeah. now it's probably closer to 4 or 5.
Yeah, when we lived in the same, when we lived together, it was definitely more. Yeah.
Because we had more opportunities. But so it's, some people may have more sex than that.
Yeah.
I do know from what I've seen is on average, even the most sex crazed people in the world, it's about one in every other day is about the average mm-hmm. for those communities.
Oh, but, wow.
Yeah.
So I did not know that. So we're doing pretty good.
Or less. Like, I think it was somewhere in Greece or that.
Oh, they had like a study.
155 but they have... or 160 days a year or something like
oh,
that. Or 160
we've broken
times.
That for sure.
Yeah. So there's that. But we've also just had our biggest rough patch. So we've been doing all this creativity. We've been super affectionate. We've been dancing. We've been doing all the things.
And we're podcasting through this really intense time. And like,
right.
when so much of what we do is about intimacy and sexuality.
Yeah. So one thing that you like to do is be able to podcast after we've had a great sexual experience. Well, we've had nothing to podcast about
this whole month.
Well, not quite the whole month, but
almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, we could describe the sex last night. It was pretty, you just orgasmed really quickly.
last I was like, night. Yes, I was all primed and ready.
Yeah, we had an amazing night. I mean, it was a massage. And
I gave him a massage. He asked. He's like, would you give me a full body massage?
Yeah, I just wanted to feel super relaxed. Mm-hmm. And
so we had nice oil and oils, essential oils and body oil.
And then when we actually got super intimate, basically that didn't change anything. I started getting hot again. I could feel the tingling in my penis, but it wasn't getting super hard, or it's gotten hard before, but it'll go soft the moment I want to enter. Like, it becomes some weird thing about that. And I was not, last night I didn't beat myself up over it, but I realized if I touch myself, I think I can get hard. I just touched myself, and I did, and I invited you into some of the touching at some point, and it was different for us. And then I was like, do you want to get on top of me? And she's like, yeah. And we had sex, and I was able to stay hard as long as we were having sex.
Yeah.
And then the moment she had orgasmed, I was pretty much done, and I'm back to where I've been since last night.
Thanks for that, though. That was really...
Yeah. So I'm not looking necessarily, I mean, if you have advice, give it, but I'm more interested in just having the conversation around intimacy and sexuality and looking for the opportunities of being sexually close when one or the other is not there.
I feel like there's a lot of pressure for men to just always be hard and always be ready to go.
It's a sign of manhood. I even believe the technical term for low testosterone is something like hypoandroidism, which literally means lesser man.
Oh my gosh.
Andro man.
That's so much fucking pressure. Hypo less. Yeah. Yeah.
Lower manhood. Oof. Less manly.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit wrapped in. I feel for the men that are...
But it's a real thing. And it's not one thing that just accept me for who I am. It's people have to be real about what they want. And that's where intimacy is. Mm-hmm. Being willing to show that. Being willing to still be true to yourself.
Yeah.
And then have that conversation. And then see where the opportunities are in our physical limitations. Like, mm-hmm. why do we don't have to stop being sexual. There's all kinds of ways I can please you or even please myself during this time. Because I'm not completely sexually incapable in myself right now.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of exciting. And it makes me feel like, yeah, I really want, it's not always going to be easy. And we don't know what's going to happen with your body as things change. Too. Yeah,
true.
So it would just be interesting to see how that unfolds. Mm-hmm. And I would rather not be with anyone but you for that journey.
Aww. Thank you for being willing to do this.
Yeah, it's not easy.
I know.
Everybody wants to put their best foot forward. I just feel it's important.
Yeah, yeah. I've definitely talked about my hard shit, so.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's stronger. We want our men to be strong. Mm. To me, it's stronger to somehow be able to open up about the ways you're not strong.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have your ecstatic pussy talk coming up. How ecstatic is it?
Yeah.
Not so bad today. March 11th. Here in Bozeman.
Yes.
At Emergence Movement and Wellness. Yes. You can find all that at intimacycadre.org.
Mm-hmm.
And you have some good ideas of what you're going to do on second session.
Oh, yeah. And even if you didn't come to the first one. You can come to the second.
Yes, and intimacycadre.org. And very soon we're going to be announcing our weekend workshop at Boulder Hot Springs in Boulder, Montana. We'll have a lot of details coming this week, we expect, or within the week.
Yeah.
All right.
Big topic.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.